Hello, everyone. My name is Scott Lucas. I'm an assistant professor at Oregon State University. OSU is based in Corvallis, but I'm on the dry side of the state at the Hermiston Ag Research Extension Center. So I'm just going to be discussing a little bit of my work that we did last year that was a preliminary study that we've been using to ramp up for this year, and again, we'll do it next year. And it's regarding subsurface drip irrigation in onion production in coarse soils. So as I mentioned, in Oregon has approximately 8,000 hectares of onion production, and it's broken down into two distinct regions in the state. Up north, we have the lower Umatilla Basin, and that's where I focus my work, and it's a much coarser soil. And in that area, there's approximately 3,000 hectares of onions, and that's primarily under center pivot irrigation. There's a smaller fraction, about 240 hectares, that's under drip irrigation. And that's little regions, little pockets of that basin with more heavy soil. So they're using some of the drip. And then lower in the south of the state is the Malheur County, and it's about 5,000 hectares of onions, and that is a heavier soil region, and they're using almost all subsurface drip irrigation. So with the subsurface drip that's in the lower Umatilla Basin, as I said, in those patches of heavier soil, the growers who are producing there, they've noticed that their traditional yields under the pivot is about 80 to 85 kilograms per hectare. Under the same area with the drip irrigation, they're getting around 100 to 112,000 kilograms per hectare. So that's a 20% yield increase with the drip irrigation. Furthermore, if you look at the water usage, under a center pivot, a traditional pivot, 52 hectares, 128 acres, it's about 3,400 liters per minute of water use. Same pivot outfitted with the drip irrigation, they are using about 20% or 15% less water, about 3,000 liters per minute. So yield increase and water savings. Of course, there are cons to drip irrigation, as we all know, but we're on a pseudo vacation, so we won't talk about that. And another part is that the, as the last presenter mentioned, is that when you have excess water, you have the water infiltration and percolation and nitrate movement. So the lower Umatilla Basin is a classified groundwater management area. So there's a lot of fingers being pointed, but a lot of those fingers are at irrigated ag. It's kind of hard to see in the corner, but that pie chart, the big blue section, 70%, is the contribution of irrigated ag producers to the nitrate in the groundwater. So because of that, there's a lot of scrutiny on the producers for one, regulating and really optimizing soil moisture, and then also with nitrogen. So that brings us to why we're doing this project. In that area, the larger portion of the Umatilla Basin is a really coarse soil, an Atkins sandy loam. So it's approximately 75% sand. In some areas, that sand increases, so it's upwards of 80% sand. So that's a really low water holding capacity. And so you have a lot of water infiltration and percolation. And then you're coupling that with a fertilizer program, getting a lot of leaching as well. So there are no subsurface drip recommendations for this area because it's in a pretty low amount that's currently being used, and because growers don't think that in this coarse soil that they would be able to get the lateral spread from the drip line to saturate the onion bed because of the coarse soil. So this is what really brought this project into light. So the objectives here were to look at a couple different drip emitter flow rates. Typically, everyone wants to go for the ultra-low flow because it's the most, you know, most water conservation. But when we're looking at a project like this in a coarse soil, the low-flow emitters, the tendency is just to go down. So if we could look at a higher emitter flow rate, we could push the water more laterally to saturate the onion bed. So we're looking at the two emitter flow rates, and then we're coupling that with different onset values of soil tension. So the next objective was to model the water in the soil profile so we could see where it's going. Are we losing the water throughout the soil profile, or is it retaining in the root rhizosphere, or just see exactly what's happening? And then this year, we're correlating the water infiltration with nitrate leaching. So I'm not going to be presenting any data of that because it's currently underway. So in 2018, it was set up as a random complete block design with five reps. And we had the two emitter flow rates that I was mentioning. That was 0.07 and 0.13 gallons per hour. And then we were looking at two soil moisture onset tension values of 10 kilopascals and 20. And a kilopascal is equivalent to a centibar, and I'll refer to them as centibars from here on. We did a similar trial that's currently underway in 2019, but we made it a bit more robust by adding some of the onset values. So now we're looking at 5, 10, 15, and 20 centibar onset with the same emitter flow rates. Both years we're using a traditional commonly used fresh market yellow onion, and at planting we banded 78 kilograms nitrogen, and then subsequent nitrogen applications were all applied through the drip injection system as needed based on tissue and root analyses. So the bed was set up a little different than what the commercial growers were trying to do. We have two double onion rows, and those double rows are spaced 23 centimeters apart. Within each of the rows of the onions, it's an 11 and a half centimeter spacing. The in-row spacing was 11 centimeters. And we got our drip line going right down the middle, and that was buried at 5 to 7 centimeters depth with an emitter spacing of 20 centimeters. So the instrumentation part of this is what was new to me, and that's why we kind of went reduced on the onset values, because the more onset values, the more sensors. So currently, we have about 120 sensors in the ground, and we're using the Watermark granular matrix sensors measuring the soil tension. So these are logging the values so we could create our models, and then they're also initiating the irrigation onset. So you can see up in the right corner, that grid pattern is where we had individual sensors in each respective treatment. So there are 5 centimeters, 20, and 40 directly beneath the drip line and directly beneath both the double rows of onions. And that 8-inch or the 20 centimeter sensor with the star around it, that was the sensor in each plot. We had one additional, and that was the decision sensor. So that was measuring the soil tension that was used to then trigger the onset of the irrigation. These sensors were all hooked up to Campbell Scientific instrumentation, and that was, they would relay to the logger, which would then, the program would tell the relay when to irrigate, and it would trigger that to the irrigation valves. So it was an automated system. What we collected was traditional metrics of onion establishment, plant height, vigor, along as with the graded yield, the marketable yield. And this year we're looking at nitrate in the soil profile as well. And the nitrate aspect of it, we did a little last year, but it was mainly just trying to figure out the parameters of how we can how to do it. And now we have more funding, so we could actually ramp that up. So with the nitrate, we were looking at the soil solution access tubes. They're tube lysimeters, essentially. And we had these in each of the plots at 15, 30, 90, and 150 centimeters. And we were doing solution samples every 2 weeks. And we're using these because they could be a really valuable tool for growers to use because they're pretty simple and they're affordable tools to use. However, research-grade data is really challenging with these for a number of reasons. So we were validating each of the samples we would draw from the lysimeter by a corresponding soil sample at each of these depths and time points. The data was analyzed as an ANOVA, mean separated with least significant difference. So what we see at 71 days after planting is that on the y-axis, we see the plant vigor. X-axis, we see our treatments. The first is the high flow, 10 centibars, the low flow, 10 centibar, high flow 20, low flow 20. It's a little hard to see from there, I'm sure. But what we noticed was that the greatest vigor was found with the 10 centibar treatments at both the high and the low flow, so no difference there. We did see the least vigor with the high flow 20 centibar treatment, the drier treatment. Looking at the plant height at the same interval, we see that the plant height was optimized with both flow rates at 10 centibars and was less with the 20 centibar treatments. Moving on to 97 days, when the water use was a little more in demand, we see this exaggerating itself. So significantly greater plant vigor with the 10 cinnabar treatments, and significantly decreased vigor with both of the flow rates of the 20 cinnabars. Looking at plant height, we start to see a little difference between the high flow, the 10 cinnabars, and the low flow. So we have significantly greater plant height with the 10 cinnabar high flow treatment, and then the worst were the high and the low flow of the 20 cinnabar. And you can see what this is looking like in the field, and this is at the 97 days. On the left, we see the 20 cinnabar, the drier treatment, and the 10 cinnabar is clearly the more robust plot with the higher height, higher vigor, and you'll see higher yield. So when we look at the yields at 132 days, we see that significantly greater yield with the 10 cinnabar treatments, almost no yield at the end with the drier 20 cinnabar treatments. And similar pattern with the counts as well, as expected. But we do start to see between the high and the low flow, we're seeing numerically greater yields with the high flow of the 10 cinnabars. So on to the part that I'm most interested in is modeling what is happening beneath the soil. And we have much more, we have better figures now. We're doing an interactive figure so we could actually see in, you know, a sped up kind of time frame. What we're looking at is the low flow treatment and a high flow treatment on the far side. And in each of these small squares, remember we have the grid pattern of sensors. This is from the depth of our sensors from 0 to 16 inches. Drip line is in the middle, so on either side of the drip line. And in both of these two figures, high and low, this is a tenth of an inch of irrigation applied. So the same amount of irrigation, same time frame from onset to 36 hours. So what we see with the low flow is that after 2 hours, the water is moving down to about the root rhizosphere area at around 20 centimeters or 8 inches. And then it maintains there for a while and it builds up, and then it starts slowly percolating down throughout the profile past 16 inches, and that was our deepest sensor. If you compare that to the high flow treatment, we see a really quick flow coming out, and it's saturating the upper profile in about 2 hours, and it maintains to saturate that area up into 8 hours, 16, and 24, and we're not seeing a lot of movement coming down through the depths past 16 inches. So essentially, it's filling that usable part of the profile where the roots are and not leaching down. So in this study, we see that the 10 cinnabar soil tension was optimal compared to 20. In Malheur County, with the heavier soil, they found that it was about 17 to 20 cinnabars. The higher emitter flow rate might be necessary to promote that lateral spread and reduce infiltration. It'll be really interesting to get the nitrate data and correlate that with the water infiltration to see what will come of it. But the bottom line is that subsurface drip irrigation in the coarse soil onion production is feasible. We have a lot of work to figure out the details and refine it, but it is possible. So with that, thank the Oregon Department of Ag and OSU for funding this trial. And questions if there's time.